Podcast People Think. Podcast. Hello and welcome to another breaking news edition of What Most People Think. My God, we've got stuff to discuss. My God, I had a Joe Biden moment there. Discover, discuss, dissemble. Yeah, we had the head-to-heads this week, both in the UK and the US. We had Starmer and Sunak going head-to-head on the BBC. And did anybody watch that debate? There was a lot of noise outside, wasn't there? And I think it was a Free Palestine protest. But originally, because it's in Nottingham and it was a sunny day, and Nottingham's got a lot of Wetherspoons, I thought, is this debate happening near a Wetherspoons? Because if you've got people on the street drinking, that's going to be noisy. So we are going to discuss all of that coming up during the show. If you have joined us during this election and enjoying What Most People Think, we make jokes about politics, really. We talk about politics and we make jokes about it. And they're not all from the left, but they're not all from the right as well. So I hope you stick around beyond the election, because I was sort of thinking, you know, it existed before this election cycle. What's it going to be afterwards? And there's going to be so much happening. You're going to have the Labour appointments, you know. Will David Lammy even get a big job? Because he has not been visible during this campaign. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? David, we've got a really important assignment for you, Mr. Lammy. Yeah, we need you to just replace the inkjets on the printer. David, we can't. This is the most important part of the campaign. Are you kidding? Starmer hasn't let him anywhere near public sight. And also, Ed Miliband, he hasn't been anywhere near it, has he? Because Starmer has kind of felt that he doesn't want to be overshadowed, which wouldn't be hard, let's be honest. But we're going to be sticking around to see who, you know, in the likely event of a big Labour majority, who gets the big jobs. We'll have no doubt the Tory leadership election. I mean, I don't even think it will be a leadership election. It will probably be a cage fight to the death. And then we've got, of course, got the US election. So it'll keep rolling. Of course, we'll still be talking about cultural and topical things as we go, men's mental health, all of that stuff. So I hope if you joined us during the election that you stick around beyond. As ever, we're going to do a thank you and a fuck you. The thank you is to people who are buying tickets to see me in Edinburgh. Those tickets have started to move now. It's the 21st to the 25th of August, the Wednesday to the Sunday. I think it's mainly lefties that just want to come and point and laugh. Labour voters over the year that, you know, that have had me trolling them, and they just want to come and basically chant, "You're not singing anymore." So I don't care. Look, if you're buying tickets, come along to see me do my first show as a political comedian under a Labour government. Also, people buying The British Bloke Decoded. It's shifted reasonably well in the first few weeks of the paperback being out. And, you know, people are calling it the holiday book of the year. Who's calling it that, Jeff? Me. Me and my agent and my publisher. We're calling it the holiday book of the year, but I have seen a lot of people sending me photos. So do on social media. Just, you know, if you've got a pint or, for the ladies, a wine or an Aperol spritz. Yeah, I know you're going to say, but Jeff, women can drink pints, but they shouldn't. We all know this. No, I'm joking. I respect seeing a woman neck a pint. There's a member of the Tartan Army, a Scottish female fan, after the game against Hungary, and she just necked a pint of Guinness. But she did it in such a dainty, ladylike style. Look, given the way Scotland played, I think she then followed that up with probably some half a gram of ketamine and a couple of shots. But, you know, so women can drink pints. People say I'm not liberal or feminist. There you go. I've just said women can drink pints. I don't know what more people want. Also, I want to thank the people that came to the recordings of Jeff Norcott's Working Men's Club. We did the final record date in Leeds on Tuesday. And I'm just really excited for people to hear this. You know, I've been working away doing the odd one-off for Radio 4. I think you guys will like this. It's, you know, it's talking about bloke stuff. It's being funny. They're trying to make a point here and there, sticking up for blokes. But I'll tell you one thing that happened. I'm going to say this before the show goes out, is that on the Tuesday, on one of the episodes, we were talking about friendship between men and tactility. I basically said, we don't hug enough. And I said, will any man here hug me? And a guy called Andy came up. And then said, how about a kiss on the cheek, right? And then we both went for one cheek. We both moved our heads. And of course, we ended up kissing each other on the lips, which provoked mass hilarity in the room. So, yeah, I kissed the boy and I did not like it. And it's nothing to do with you, Andy. You're a good looking man with very soft skin. But just the stubble thing, that is not thoughts and prayers to women. The stubble thing is not nice. The fuck you goes to David Tennant. Wow. So he won an award. Was it the Attitudes Awards or the Pink Awards? There were some awards, right? And David, he's an ally. He's an ally He's just an ally. People like being an ally, don't they? I mean, like, it's a good word, isn't it? You know, I mean, in the World Wars, it meant something slightly different. But anyway, he gets this award. I don't know what the award is for, maybe Ally of the Year. But so he goes up there. He's obviously surfing their approval. And then he starts speaking about Kemi Badenoch, and he expressed a wish for her not to exist. He then slightly qualified that by saying, I wish her no harm. I just wish that she would shut up. And he made this sort of closing gesture with his fingers. Now, I think, call me woke, but I don't think that David Tennant actually wants Kemi Badenoch to die, right? But what happened was, and this is what made it quite odious, was he's sort of jacked up a bit, isn't he? Jacked up on his own morality, like people on the progressive left sometimes get. And he's in front of his new mates and he's kind of showing off. But the funny thing was, he still managed to go too far. Because when he said, I just wish she wouldn't exist, like you could see the woman behind him was like, that's a bit rich for my taste. And then he qualifies it with his, I don't wish her harm. Well, you just did, David. You just did wish her harm, right? And you did it. And now whether or not you actually want violence to happen to her, we are talking at a time when female MP safety is a massive issue. And then, you know, just like saying that she should just shut up. This does not help anybody. This, more importantly, this does not help the wing of progressivism that you're purporting to represent, because it gives people an example how some people, particularly blokes on that side of the debate, talk about women. Why should she shut up, right? Why should she shut up? She's abrasive. Of course, you know, sometimes she's a bit rich for my taste. But why can't she be in the debate? It's the thing about Kemi Badenoch is that the left do find her challenging because, you know, unlike a lot of Tory MPs recently, she speaks with clarity and she's across her brief. And you might not agree with everything she said, but you have to come back with a good counter-argument because she makes strong points. So, you know, David Tennant, you know, I enjoy him as a media personality. I thought he's great as Doctor Who. But maybe it's time to go and have a little play with your sonic screwdriver.
What most people think.
Okay, let's talk about the final of the UK, the final of the, no, it wasn't the final, it's not Eurovision, Jeff. It's the final UK leaders debate. Wish it had been Eurovision, eh? Would have been a lot more interesting. Right, I mean, first up about this debate is that I had to sacrifice watching Portugal versus Georgia. And look, Ronaldo being upset gives me life, as the kids would say. So that was a shame, watching them lose 2-0. They'll probably still beat us, you know, knock us out of the tournament on penalties. But you take the wins where you can. So at the beginning of the debate, as discussed, there is this sound of protest outside. Rishi comes out pumped. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if there's like, you know, these kind of revision drugs around. I don't know. He looks like he's snorted a massive line of fucking Adderall or whatever. So he comes out pumped. Starmer comes out looking confused, like he'd had a nap at an inopportune time. You know, you do that and you go, oh, that's actually double ball hard, look good. And he's licking the old lips, like from the first debate. Remember that when old man Starmer? I realise that a lot of the men that listen to this are over 60, so apologies. But he was licking his lips. The eyes were darting. His hair looked weird as well. It was weird because I saw a photo of him with his missus at Taylor Swift. I mean, by the way, like, why were you at Taylor Swift? Was actually, given the Tory implosion, that was actually the most challenging question the geezer has had this week. But yeah, he didn't look great, Keir. And you were sort of reminded that he was a man over the age of 60. Like I say, it's not old, but like someone give him a chair at one point. I thought, give the man a chair. But then the problem is, if you'd given him a chair, when he stood up again, he'd have made a noise, wouldn't he? But initially, the public were very angry with the Tories because this is in the sort of slipstream of Gamblegate. Although it should be said now that Labour do have their own guy now. I can't remember the guy's name, but you know, his argument was, so he bet against himself. But then he said, well, I was going to give the winnings to charity, which is like, okay, well, that's what I would say too, mate, but I'm not sure I buy it. And the problem was with people going, well, you know, he bet against himself. So it's just a bit of fun because, you know, Labour good, Tory bad, Labour Jedi, Tory Sith. But, you know, he could have just thrown his election, couldn't he? He could have done something unforgivable, like maybe he shared an AI image of Paddington Bear getting molested by the Brown family. Oh, okay, Jeff. Right, we don't really need to go there. But look, so Starmer gets a jab in early where he calls Rishi Sunak out of touch, which is, you know, in those word clouds that they do about politicians, that would probably be one of the biggest ones for Sunak. Out of touch, short, annoying. I mean, those word clouds are brutal, man. Most of us could not cope with doing the politician word cloud. You know, like if I saw mine, it would just be like, massive forehead, right in the middle. Massive forehead, sort of like chimp ears, I would imagine. Anyway, So I don't care if Rishi Sunak is rich. That's been my issue. I don't feel like you should sort of shame someone's wealth, because you wouldn't shame someone's wealth the other way. You wouldn't say, right, well, you've got too much money to know how it is. Well, Rishi Sunak, imagine if you're like, well, you haven't got enough money to manage big budgets. Like, people go, whoa, that's out of order, mate. Well, I don't care what people's resources are. I care how they manage the national resources. And Starmer tried to talk in generalities, right? And he's, you know, it's the 14 years. He kept saying 14 years. The poor fella. I mean, he just sounded more and more desperate. And it's 14 years. I would say again, I'm getting annoyed with people including the coalition years from this. Right, 9 years of chaos. Fine. 14 years. The coalition years were the smoothest government I've ever known. You tell me a scandal that happened during that time, all right? David Domain, this one might be one for David Domain, our super patron that keeps an eye on each episode. Tell me one. Because I remember that right at the beginning of the Blair years, there was police at number 10 with the Max Mosley Formula One thing, right? And, you know, it was a small matter of some illegal wars. Oh, it was one illegal war, wasn't it? Yeah, the other one was legit. That's a weird thing to say about a war. But what happened was that Starmer kept trying to talk in generalities and commentary. You know, so he just wanted to do analysis. It was like he was like fucking one of the pundits on the BBC. He said, well, the thing is, Gary, you know, what they've done wrong and what I'd like to see. Well, I'd like to see growth, economic growth. I want to see the country doing well. Keir, can you find me someone that doesn't want those things, all right? Because if there isn't anybody, then what you're saying is it's not necessary to fucking say, yeah, I want to see an NHS off its knees. Okay, you keep talking about the NHS off its knees. You got some weird thing with nurses? I don't know. But the audience, I think, started to tire of his analysis, because rather than giving answers to... There were good questions, right? And he wasn't giving answers to them. And this was a good audience, by the way. There was no eye rolling or people going, oh, yeah, I hope she sees me, bro. You know, there's those blokes on these debates that basically their dream is that if I get caught eye rolling at a right-wing politician, it will go viral and then I'll get shagged. God, maybe I'm cynical because I went to a liberal arts college, but there were plenty of feminists there. I did a women in literature course, right? I'm going to be honest with you, I did it slightly to be a dick because it was so, Goldsmiths, the college I went to, was so right on and stuff. I just sat in there and just shat on every text just for a laugh because I was an arsehole, okay? But there were guys there that would just sit there and go, I just think, you know, Virginia Woolf is just the most amazing writer, and then just look around going, all right, ladies, who can shag me? Do you hear what I said about Virginia Woolf? Where the debate really caught fire was on immigration, right? So they asked what Starmer would do. That's the old question with Starmer. What would you do? And he said, well, look, what this is about processing. It's about process. It's about good. And Sunak, he just went full beast mode. I think he just thought, oh, look, Starmer's glitching. I'm going to lose. I'm just going to have this guy. And he just said, well, what are you talking about? You're going to sit down with the Ayatollahs in Iran? And the audience were like, whoa, fucking hell. That was a real... In a weird way, it was a human moment, right? Now, the human that you see in Rishi Sunak isn't massively likable, but he is intelligent and he's across his brief. And he sort of slayed him. And Starmer was really on the ropes. And he thought, oh my God, like, is Starmer really just going to have that capitulation moment that I suppose would be the only way that the Tories could really get back in it? But he's sort of slightly recovered himself. And then it became like a parlour game where, you know, whatever you ask Rishi Sunak, he just said tax. Just tax. Just tax, tax, tax. It got, you know, okay, Rishi, we get it. Anything else? And Starmer, it was a bit like, you know, his thing where he just wanted to talk without saying anything, no matter what happened. It's a bit like... Just a Minute, is that the one on Radio 4 where they have to kind of talk with all these rules, mustn't pause, mustn't hesitate? So Starmer just tried to talk in general, look, the country, what the country needs. And you have to buzz in if he actually said something, like made a point. Sorry, Keir Starmer actually referenced something sounding like a policy there. Yeah, I'm afraid that is right, Keir Starmer. That is not the point of the game. You're supposed to talk while saying fucking nothing. And to my surprise and disappointment, Keir Starmer did recover a bit towards the end. But they both had to face the, are you the best? So there's this older guy who said he voted Tory before, and he sort of said, Rishi Sunak, you were a decent chancellor, but a mediocre prime minister. Keir Starmer, your strings are getting pulled by people high up in the Labour Party. So I just want to say, basically, are you two shit? Are you two just shit? And the press lauded it. I didn't really like it as a question, but they sort of are what he says. And neither of them, I mean, it is kind of a weird question to allow in when there was nothing about poverty or, you know, foreign affairs. But anyway, right, neither of them gave a human answer. And that says a lot about both of them. I'd have said, look, all right, fair enough. Clearly, I haven't won you over, sir. But I hope after a year, you change your mind, right? You might get a little round of applause. You might get a little titter on the joke. You've got to remember, political debates are a bit like Wimbledon tennis. A raised eyebrow is like a fucking best joke you've ever heard. So it just said a lot about how drilled and trained these guys are.
What most people think.
Say overall, Sunak did have the better of it. I think he was good at just drilling down into something that actually hasn't really caught fire this campaign, is Keir Starmer's dishonesty. We all know all the things he promised, the things he's gone back on. Like, he's got an argument for why he's had to do that. But I'm surprised there haven't been more Tory attack ads. I mean, I know it's cynical, dark arts politics, but that would have been my party political broadcast. I would have just had the things Keir Starmer said before and the things that he's saying now, right? I suppose the problem for the Tories is the things that he said before is stuff that they disagree with, and the things that he's saying now is stuff that they agree with. Maybe that's the problem. It would actually win over Middle England. Oh, fuck. Completely undermine my own point there. But, like, there's a recent example with Starmer where, you know, when he ran for leader, he was talking about proportional representation. I mean, let's just spare a thought again for the Liberal Democrats. How many months were they led on, and to use a politically incorrect word, prick-teased about the idea of a progressive alliance? And then the moment Labour went far ahead, they're like, see ya, Lib Dems. Just, oh, sorry, oh, yeah, were you texting? Oh, I think I must have changed my phone number. Sorry for not letting you know. And Keir Starmer went from being for PR to literally saying, look, first past the post delivers strong government. It always had. So we just got, you know, flip, flop, flippity, floppily, slippery Starmer. Slippery Starmer. That's what... Slippery Starmer. He's like Quagmire saying giggity. That's Starmer's thing, isn't it? He just goes back on something and then Slippery Starmer. I mean, he is slippery because he's talking about getting a better deal with the EU, and Sunak not unreasonably said to him, well, how are you going to do that? We know that they don't give, you know, something for nothing, which, you know, I suppose Remainers could argue, go, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, what we said about how the negotiations would pan out. But Starmer didn't have an answer on that either. And it seemed to be, well, you know, look, I'm nice. I'm a nice guy. My dad, look, I think the EU would just say, oh, I heard your dad was a toolmaker. Here's a better deal. I mean, he doesn't have an answer at this point other than, well, we're Labour and they'll probably like us more. I'm not sure about that, mate. Have you seen how right-wing Europe's going? There might come a point where Europe goes right, and then if we try and rejoin, they'll be like, we are not letting you in, you bloody left-wing bastards, with your left-wing government and your votes for 16-year-olds. Ah, your alfresco dining in city centres. What happened to the nation that used to wear sandals with socks? So the polls come out, and overall, it was 50-50 on the YouGov one. Now, in the context of the week and the campaign, and let's be honest, the 2 years that the Tories have had, I'd say that's a pretty good win. It's not really going to change loads, but it's a good win for Sunak. I mean, he's outperforming his party's polling by more than double. I know the question said, setting aside your own politics, you know, I think if you volunteer to be on a YouGov poll and you're left wing, how easy is that to do, right? But I think maybe the point of this was to win back some reform voters, especially in light of the Farage comments about Russia and also these horrific things that were said by a reform candidate and were caught on Channel 4 News. And they want to mobilise the Tory vote, right? So it might, in the polls that come out soon, you might see the Tories nudge up a little bit, reform down a little bit, Labour have slid a bit. But for it really to change the outcome of this general election, I think Keir Starmer would have had to have what is known in the game now as a complete Joe Biden. So as I'm recording this, Friday morning around 11 a.m, we had the US presidential debate last night. And I don't know about you, but waking up this morning, I sort of felt like, you know, when we woke up to the news of the slap that was heard around the world at the Oscars with Will Smith and Chris Rock, it sort of felt like there was a similar thing today, but like Biden slapped himself and then the entire world got sort of slapped. Anybody that had to watch that got slapped. It was messy. But I'm glad that the US thing is happening now. It's like, this is kind of thing like for politics nerds. It's, you know, when you're enjoying sport and you're like, oh, the sport's going to end. But then right at the end of the Olympics, the sort of Carabao Cup starts. Not the US presidential election is like the Carabao Cup, but you know what I mean? Like a really good tournament somewhere else. That has been, the IPL. The Indian Premier League. Going into the bar for the debate, the success criteria for Biden was pretty low. An actual political commentator said this on CNN, said he needs to not freeze or fall over. I mean, that fair enough. That's all it is. I mean, it's a bit like your wedding vows, isn't it? Like, you know, when you used to see those old clips on You've Been Framed of lots of grooms just passing out, which I think was a legacy of the old days of going out for a stag do the night before, which is legitimately fucking mental. But look, I'm all for blokey stuff. That never needed to be the case, all right? But yeah, he just needs to not freeze or fall over. Well, he achieved one of those things. And, you know, people can't... Camilla Tominey, actually, in The Telegraph, had the best line summing up what happened last night. She said it was the guy that's facing a sentence versus the guy that can't finish a sentence, which I think really encapsulated it. And look, I'll say straight out of the gate, some of the Democrats are trying to spin this as... It's just cognitive decline. It's just old age. I'm sorry. If you are dealing with older relatives, you know, and having the social care burden of what dementia looks like, you will watch that last night and know that is not just cognitive decline, right? There's something about his voice, the sort of the way that his words are getting lost in his throat. I mean, they come out afterwards and said, the president had a cold. Right. Okay. And you didn't tell us that before because you just thought, you know, just... Well, it's like a Netflix show and you didn't want it to be a spoiler alert. We just find out, you know, afterwards in a post-credit sequence. Within the first 15 minutes, Biden had some horrible moments. I mean, he mentioned something about jobs. Like, one of the things that has happened, there's been a lot of jobs created, and he said we created 15,000 jobs. I think, like, in the US jobs market, that is not a significant figure. Well, I think what is closer to 300,000. And he was actually on the strong ground of abortion, right? There's a lot of Americans, like, on the Democrat side. Almost all people are vehemently against this, but also on the Republican side, you know, they sort of feel like, should it be the state's role to interfere? And, you know, pragmatists that would say that the woman's right to choose is, you know, is helped create a better society of women not having to raise kids that they didn't want, right? I know there's a lot of other morality in there, but Trump kind of knows that this is dodgy ground for him, and he's rode back. Not to use a pun on the word row, but he's rode back from his position, right? So Biden is on the strong grounds of abortion, but then somehow, out of nowhere, mentions immigrants coming and raping people and killing them. And you think, how have you ended up talking about that? You've gone from, right, here is a subject that Donald Trump is really weak on, and I'm now going to, within the space of the same sentence, go to one that he's actually going to have the voters' ears. And I think that Trump did well not to actually bully Biden, because if he'd have just reacted the way that you know Trump actually wanted to, like, well, sorry, what the fuck did he just say? He had facial expressions, but I think he was probably briefed by his team to go kind of like, do not look like you're bullying the fucking granddad from the Werther's Originals ad, you know? And Trump, you know, managed to seem 20 years younger despite having his own problems with age and saying mad shit. I mean, another thing that Biden said that was mad was, I beat Medicare. Now, first up, right, the whole point about the Democrats' relationship with Medicare is that's something they should be proud of, but he said that he beat Medicare. But it still allowed Trump a good line. I mean, he can come out with the odd good line, Trump. He said, yeah, Joe, you beat it to death. I mean, that is just, how must it feel in a debate when you hear that? You're like, oh, fuck, that's going viral. That also is going viral. Yep, another viral moment. Well, look, the good thing is I've now created 10 viral moments. It'll sort of just blur into one. And, you know, Biden uses such old guy phrases as well. What was he called him? He called Trump a sucker and a loser. You're a sucker and a loser. You got the morals of an alley cat. And, like, they're such old guy phrases. Now, I'm not saying that he should be saying things like amazeballs and fucking hollybob, but, you know, try to avoid saying things like, hey, gee, she's, you know, Kamala Harris is one classy dame. She's abroad. I could do business with. He just sounds like one of those guys from a black and white film. I think the lowest point in the debate came when they started challenging each other to a game of golf. And you thought, sorry, is this fucking happening? Two old guys. It just looked literally like, you know, one of those old guy comedies with, like, Jack Lemmon and Bing Crosby, I don't know, suddenly I had a fucking Joe Biden moment. You know, like one of those comedies with Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro, like one of those comedies called In the Day Room. That would be what it would be called, wouldn't it? In the Day Room. They're not going without a fight and a roast. Then Trump was talking, they were talking about each other's handicap, and Biden was saying, I got a handicap of 6. And in fairness to Trump, you know, with his politically incorrect side, he must have wanted to make so many handicap jokes at that point. But he did well to restrain himself. And then Biden then said, oh, my handicap's 8. So his handicap somehow improved. Oh, it's just hard to watch. I mean, let's talk about Trump, though, for a sec, right? He told loads of lies, as usual. You know, and he is... You know, he has had 33 convictions about him, right? If you look at the playbook of Trump, the playbook is all, he's got all the characteristics of a dictator, right? You know, now I think that the system won't let it happen, and maybe that the American people, that's the reason they might feel okay to vote for him. They go, well, I see what he is, but I also think that the system will restrain him. And he, you know, he's bad, but maybe he's not going to be full on like throwing people out of fucking helicopters bad. But straight afterwards, people were talking about Trump having like a 3-4 point bump in the polls. So this makes him a pretty clear favorite. And it does go back to what happened in 2020, where the Democrats and the left were just so passionate about getting rid of Trump at all costs, right? So, well, Biden's the only guy that can get rid of him. Let's make it Biden. Biden beats him, right? But what that does mean now is that the American public will be looking at Biden, not just now, but going, what about Biden in 3 years? It seems inconceivable that he could be president for that long. It seems inconceivable that he could last this race. But what happens, like, if he says, you know, like, men of that age, they're fairly stubborn. So what if you say to them, Joe, little, you know, little pat on the shoulder, hey, Joe, it's time to go have a lie down. It's like, what if he goes, what are you talking about? I had a great debate. You're like, oh, fuck, this is one of the problems, right? With the condition is that maybe he does. He's got, I don't remember that. I thought I had a great debate. You're like, yeah, we really do need you to step down because people think that, well, people just feel sorry for you, mate. So what if he then won't go, right? And then they're like, right, we have to lever him out. What if the Democrats then have to go unconstitutional to get their guy out? It all fucking, you know, it all flips around. You know, it's like having to get power of attorney too late. Families would have experienced this. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because for a while, a lot of people on the left and the progressive left have just said that Britain is a laughing stock. They love that idea. I think that they go to BDSM clubs where they just pay Europeans, like some nice-looking Portuguese lad, to just whip them. Just go, ha-ha, your country is stupid. But if you look at, you know, the march of the far right in France, you know, to a lesser extent in Germany, you look at the options facing the States, you go, maybe we're not the laughing stock. Maybe finally we're off the bottom of the table. And look, maybe Starmer and Sunak, are they really the best that Britain has to offer? Well, it's not the greatest offering, but at least both of them can just about get to the end of a sentence without lying or forgetting what the fuck they were talking about. So, you got responses to that? Some of you might be going, well, because Sunak did lie. You know, Starmer also lied. He said that the Tories are going to basically abolish national insurance completely within the next parliament, which isn't going to happen, you know? But Sunak said his tax thing, you know, they're all talking shit at this point. But if you do want to come back to me on any points, it's whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. And next week is the final week of the election. So next week for the main episode, I've got the old lefty himself, Mark Steele, who's always fun to have on the show. We're going to be doing election predictions. So we'll obviously be talking about any breaking stories, but just trying to put numbers on it, you know? What do you think? What do you think the numbers are going to come in at? What's the majority going to be? What percentage share? Will Rishi Sunak cry if he loses his seat? We're going to predict all the fun stuff. And listen, man, by this time next week, this podcast could be operating under a Labour government. So, you know, whether it's Labour, hey, fucking Reform, or even something more crazy like the Lib Dems, we're going to talk about politics and we're going to have a laugh about it. Have a good weekend.